You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Now, moving on to something equally as interesting as the idea of listing SOEs is the potential risks that exist in the South African financial system as a result of information sharing. We know we've got the Protection of Public Information Act in place. We know that we've also got something like the National Credit Act in place. But what we might not know is that the National Credit Act allows for anyone with a payment, loan or credit agreement to have their information be submitted to a credit bureau without their consent. Now, this could create a number of problems. We're going to explore that and we're going to see if we can make sense of that. Joined on the line by Roy Alves, who is the National Sales Manager at J2, to take a look at this. Good evening, Roy. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start with the obvious glaring question here around the information gap that's created. How does this potentially compromise your information if a piece of legislation says that virtually anyone with a loan agreement or with some type of legal agreement is able to share your information without your consent?
Good evening, Jimmy. Thanks for having me. It's concerning, right? And you know the famous statement today that data is the new gold, right? So that information is extremely valuable to maybe someone that wants to use it for financial gain.
Roy, when we look at the POPI Act, the Protection of Public Information Act, that's been in place or that's been enforced more recently than the National Credit Act, I suppose, and that kind of was designed to protect the information of individuals. And when we look at that piece of legislation versus what the National Credit Act, surely there's a conflict there and one should come out the outright winner here?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, what are we seeing? We're seeing the credit bureaus do not need express permission to process your personal information, whether we consent to it or not. So anyone that you have an arrangement, a payment arrangement or credit or a loan agreement, have the ability to share that info to a credit bureau. So what you're seeing is you're seeing these credit bureaus sitting with a treasure trove of your personal information. And that's what we've seen in the last, I mean, we're talking about the last few months, but over the last couple of years, we've seen the TransUnion breach, we've seen the Experian breach, we've seen many more of these happening. And in effect, what it means is if someone actually has that information, they can then build, what we call a weaponized attack against an individual business. And we've seen this on a large scale, Jimmy.
Roy, you mentioned the weaponized attacks, and I think back to when some of the credit bureaus were hacked. I mean, South Africans lost something to the tune of 175 million rand when credit bureaus like TransUnion were hacked and information was shared. How does this loophole now further create a problem that we could potentially not be able to solve? Because unless we amend the legislation, this is going to continue.
No, agreed. I mean, when I talk about the weaponized attack, maybe I could, the SASTA grant one is the one that comes to mind now. Suddenly you've got this treasure trove of information of individuals, and then they go and start creating these, cell phone accounts and start creating this whole physical reincarnation of people and bank accounts and start receiving funds into those accounts. So those are essentially those weaponized attacks. But we're seeing, I don't think the regulator is really looking at it and saying, what if this data is leaked? They're really looking at it from a, I want you to adhere to this legislation, and if you don't adhere to it, I'm going to fine you. But from a practical point of view, I think there's a lot of work to be done, Jimmy.
Now, Roy, part of the information that's being shared and all of that, you can obviously dispute the information, you can request the information, but what you can't do at this stage is you can't opt out of having that information shared. And I want to look at that because obviously from a legal standpoint, if something is part of a criminal investigation and all of that, everybody has the right to hand over the respective information that authorities are looking for. But if you can't opt out of the information that is shared with credit bureaus, how then is your information protected?
Well, exactly. You can't opt of them not sharing the information, but you can also not go and ask them to have it deleted, which I think is the other concern. So you actually, you're at the mercy of them protecting their systems, or at the mercy of them actually not sharing it with further, you know, credit bureaus or potential kind of financial services businesses that want to tap into that information. And that's what we're seeing, Jimmy. We're seeing, you know, maybe a threat actor that impersonates a financial services business and then goes and requests that information. And that is where we're seeing a bit of an issue at the moment. That vetting process on the entry of requesting that information, there needs to be a lot more checks and balances on who's actually accessing that information.
Mm. Is there any recourse for consumers? I mean, understanding, of course, that those who have their information shared through these credit bureaus more than likely have no way of stopping the credit bureaus from being hacked, as we've seen, or any other organization from being hacked for that matter. Is there recourse or any protectionism that can be put in place from a consumer perspective?
Not really. I mean, it could be lodged with the regulator to say, hey, you know, my information or my company information has been breached, and with the hope that there's some sort of form of fine that gets imposed on that facility that leaked that information. But we're not seeing it. We're actually not seeing cyber criminals standing in a court of law and being indicted, I think, Jimmy, is the challenge. And we have a very sophisticated network of you know, cyber criminals, even in South Africa, that see value in that data. And then they're harnessing and exfiltrating that data and selling it on to third-party companies that then have the ability to kind of monetize that information and that data.
Outside of the value aspect of it, Roy, I want to quickly look at your thoughts around the cost side of it. For victims that are on the receiving end of having their data stolen, this becomes very expensive.
No, it becomes very expensive. And really, once it's out there, there's very little you can do to go and purge it. If your data is sitting on the dark web and has been exfiltrated out of some of these credit bureau systems, it's pretty impossible to get rid of it. Once it's out there, it's there forever. And that's half the problem there, Jimmy, is that information then becomes valuable maybe down the line to someone that wants to go and with a criminal intent or financial intent, in some sort of ransomware, etc.
Certainly lots to be concerned about as consumers and as those who have their data shared amongst these organizations. Hopefully something can be done about this. Perhaps a conversation needs to be had with those that protect the information or those commissions that are tasked with enforcing these legislations. We'll leave the conversation there, Roy. Thanks so much for the time and for the insights. That's Roy Alves, who is the National Sales Manager for J2, joining us to take a look at how the loopholes in some legislation could potentially be compromising our data security.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.